Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, I'm going to play, I want to play this a little
never
bit.
Never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there.
Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're so happy to have you all. I'm having issues identifying you guys on the screen here on my monitor. But however, if you're there, Pastor Bill, can you press 1 or could you just start talking? Let me see what's going on here. If anyone on that Evangelist Sharon, hallelujah. I can't see anybody's number right now, so it's important that, well, hallelujah. But we have a word of prayer. And we're just going to have a word of prayer. Father God, we come today and we declare that the battle is already won. We declare, Father God, that you are preserving what you have ordained for us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for being God and God all by yourself. We thank you for the help and the strength. We thank you for a sound mind. We thank you, Father God, for healthy bodies. Healthy spirit, we bless you, Father God. We bless you for the prosperity that you brought in our lives, and we thank you for it, and we praise you for it. We thank you, Father God, for our children and grandchildren. We thank you, Father God, for our great-grandchildren. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, for our jobs, for everything, because your word says, in everything, give thanks. For this is your will, to give thanks. So I thank you, Father God. I don't complain about the situation. I acknowledge that your word says that we have not because we ask not. I acknowledge, Father God, that in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we can speak the word and it will come to fruition. It will come to pass. I acknowledge, Father God, that you have cleansed us of all unrighteousness, because if we ask, we have. I thank you, Father God, that you're the Lord of our life, that you're the master, ruler, controller. I thank you for your promises, Father God. I thank you for how you have blessed us to have our right mind. I thank you, Father God, most of all for your grace, because it's in your grace, Father God, that we realize that we're able to live and have our beings in your grace. So I thank you for it. Put myself in agreement with those, Father God, that are believing you for healing, believing you for deliverance. Those that have agreed with the word of God, I put myself in that place right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray everybody agreed, said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, this week is going to be exciting. Like I had promised you guys, we were going to talk about the revelation of grace. The revelation of grace. And so this week I'm looking for the Lord to just pour his spirit out upon all those that will receive the revelation of his grace. And today, I'm probably going to lay out a few things, especially the mere fact of what revelation is and what God's grace is, because that's going to be real important that we have that as one of our nuggets, okay? Revelation. It's the act of revealing or communicating divine truth, which is in his word. So when you see that Paul talked about the revelation, Paul said this, because, you know, when we think about the gospel, we think about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But in Romans 2:16, the Spirit through Paul says, in the day when God shall judge the secret of man according to my gospel by Jesus Christ. From anyone, Paul says that, I mean, when you think about it, because he said it, then anybody else it probably would have been almost like blasphemy. But the Spirit ruled his heart and his conscience. So when we read over there in Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Paul means that little one. The Greek word for that is doulos, means a love slave. Paul recognized himself as a love slave. When will we see the Messiah like that? Hey, we're slave to your love. That's what we do. That's who we are. We don't have to go tit for tat. We don't have to live in that old way. But we can live in the new way. We've been called to be separated from the old unto the new. Amen. So in Paul's separation, he realized that Father had called him to give the revelation to not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. Paul had been locked up in jail, in the Roman jail, when he had made this I don't want to say this discovery, but he had made that declaration over there in Ephesians 3, verses 2 through 5. If so be that ye have heard, or the dispensation of that grace of God. We're living in that dispensation of the grace of God. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the revelation that he got from that. The Bible says this. He says, God which gave to me the word, how that by revelation was made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby ye read and can receive my understanding in the mystery of Christ, which in the generation was not made known unto sons of man, as it had been revealed unto his body and to his holy apostles and prophets in the spirit. So this being the revelation, the word grace, God gave that to Paul to give us to us. This is the dispensation of grace. This is the time of grace. This is where grace is dominating the body of Christ. And we should accept the grace of God. So hopefully on tomorrow, we'll get into a lot of the scripture. But I want to point out a few things about the grace of God and what the scripture means when it talks about grace. But understand, revelation knowledge is something that had been hidden and now being made known. And that's real, real important for this lesson that I'm going to be teaching on the grace that's in the revelation. See, Christ is the end of the law. Let me point out a few things. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So he ended the law. Then he said Moses, the law came by Moses. That's how the law came. It came by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, the only way you can get into this grace is to get into Christ. That's what he offers. And to understand this in terms of revelation terms, it was hidden that we could be like him. There are so many things that was hidden in this, and now it's being made known because we're in the dispensation of grace. Revelation is the act of being made known. That's what it is. It's sort of like that curtain that when you go to a theater or whatever, you don't know what behind the curtain until you raise it up. Once you raise it up, then it's being exposed. What's behind there? I don't want to say it's a bombshell, but you go, wow. Hey, I mean, you see the secret. You see what was behind there. You see, and especially if you go to one of them theaters where they're making all that noise and different things going on behind the curtain and you don't see it, but you know something behind it. You're not sure what it is. And boom, when they raise the curtain, you see it. It's almost like a surprise, because that's what revelation is. It's like expose what was behind there. So that's what we're going to be doing this week. We're going to be exposing grace and all of what grace gives us in this New Testament, all of what we have in grace, the significance of grace. Even when the Lord spoke, as he opened the book and he read, the Bible says over there in Luke 4:22, in the synagogue and in Nazareth, Jesus was known as Joseph's son. They didn't know who he was. See, I want you to see this revelation here. They knew Jesus as Joseph's son, Mary's boy. That's a carpenter's son right there. And then when he went in the synagogue, he did something that was awesome. 4:22. And when he got through, they said, oh, the gracious word. They knew that that scripture was preserved for the Messiah. And they're like, wait a minute. Aren't this Joseph boy? What are you doing reading that scripture? See, all the Jews understood that. They knew that that scripture had been preserved for the Messiah. They knew that. It wasn't no secret. If you was a Jew or you've been around that teaching, that was a promise of God. And I won't get into all of it today, but there's so many things about grace that we got to see the revelation of it. We got to understand it. The definition for it. Grace and for revelation. But at that point right there, when you read that, and maybe I'll go and try to read this. Hallelujah. Y'all bear with me there for a moment. Hallelujah. In Luke 4, verse 22, as pastor should read that, the Messenger Bible. It's, let me go here. Luke 4, verse 22. Maybe she not connected. In Luke 4 and verse 22, and all bear him witness and wonder at the gracious words which proceed out of his mouth, and said, is not this Joseph's son? See, they had gotten revelation that this is the Messiah, because Jesus came preaching the acceptable year of the Lord. So when he read it, well, we might want to go back and read that, because I want you to see. See, like they saw it. Now, you got to understand their mindset. Their mindset, they was waiting on the Messiah. And they knew it was about time for the Messiah to appear. See, Jews kept up with that kind of stuff. And the Bible says he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. And the Bible says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. All of this is important. They knew him. The boy had been raised up. They saw him out there playing. They saw him out there with the scripture. They saw he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. This is what little Jewish boys would do. That's what they were taught to do. So, see, he had to fulfill all the scriptures, so he couldn't go to the right of that or to the left of that. He had to fulfill. So that's what they did. So, and that was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the broken heart, to preach the deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister. And he sat down, and every eye in that place focused on him. Man, do you know what scripture you just read? Do you understand what scripture you just read? Because, see, why would they be looking at Jesus? Why everybody looking at him like he done stole something? Everybody looking at him like, man, you ain't supposed to do that. But the Bible says when he sat down, all the eyes of all them, I'm talking about minister, I'm talking about the priest, I'm talking about everybody that was in the synagogue, boom, they fast their eyes on him and began to say, that's one thing about church folks, they shouldn't have started talking when they see something different. They start talking. So Jesus, they start saying, this day, and this came from Jesus himself, and he began to say unto them, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? They was waiting on that, but they had no revelation till he read that. And all bear him witness and wonder at the gracious words which proceed out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? That's why they said that. That's why they said that. And Jesus eventually told them, verily I say unto you, a prophet is accepted in this, is no prophet is accepted in his own country. And brother and sister, this is the truth. Jesus said, but I'll tell you of a truth. Many widows in Israel in those days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famines was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto 7, a city of Sodom, unto a woman that was a widow. But what was going on here, he's telling them the prophecy for it to come to pass. But we're going to deal with revelation. We're going to deal with the grace and what all it provides other than salvation. See, if you think grace only provides what we've been taught as salvation, baby, you got a whole new viewpoint now. You're going to have a whole out view, and you're going to have a different understanding about grace, especially the revelation that was given to Paul about grace. And God let him experience it so he could know firsthand that his grace was adequate. And most of us have been in churches and stuff, we heard that his grace was sufficient, meaning his grace was adequate, but not just for that situation, but for everything. It is grace that give us that new creation in 2 Corinthians 5:17. See, the Bible says that with Christ, the old things are gone, bye-bye, they went bye-bye. And the new things come. So let this lesson teach you one thing, that the old is past, which was the law that came by way of Moses. But you want grace and truth. I said this to the preacher this morning. If you had a choice to have grace and truth or the law, which one would you have? She said grace and truth. See, because she understood that. Everybody don't understand how important that is. But it's like you ran to the red light, and the red light wouldn't change. So, you know, and you got to take your child to the hospital or whatever. And you go, boom, you take on off. And the police see you. He's going to say, the law say that I'll give you a ticket. And because you wouldn't stop, the law say, this is the penalty for you running the light. But grace, on the other hand, is going to speak. And grace is going to say, I understand. The truth of the matter, I understand. You needed to go past this life to go to the hospital. So we're going to deal with those things. We're going to talk about the contrast between the Bible give the law and grace will stay in our heart as truth for each day that we live. So we're going to deal with that. We're going to deal with the law prohibits you, but grace invites you and it gives. Not only does our grace just invite us to be part of God's stuff, and let me go and say this too while it's on the top of my head. You know, God tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace. We got the right to come boldly before the throne of grace. See, we never could have that. It was always we went to the, in the old, I'm talking about, that we had to go before, say, the preacher. The Bible called the priest. And we would give our offering to the priest. Then the priest would give it to the high priest. And the high priest would petition to God for us. Well, that's passed away. That ain't how God doing it now. Christ is our high priest, according to Hebrews 11, 8, and according to Hebrews 9. Christ is our high priest now. And we need to use him as our high priest. That's spiritual. See? Because, see, all the law did was condemn us. But grace redeemed us. Let me say that one more time. The law condemned you. Grace redeems you. So that's the kind of realm to talk about this week is the part that grace play in our lives, in our new self, in that new man. And one of the scriptures in particular I want to talk about is Ephesians 4. See, this has to become a reality. Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, we want to talk about that. We want to bring out the revelation of that. The things that have been hidden that we need to talk about from both versions, from the James and others. You don't know the revelation. I want y'all to understand. Having the understanding darkness from the light of life of God through ignorance. That is in them because the blindness of their heart. There's some people don't want to see the truth. Who've been in past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness and work of all uncleanness, greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. You have a lot of people who have not learned Christ. Oh, they heard about it and they read the book. And some of them even tell me how they read the Bible all the way through a couple of times. But they hadn't learned Christ. That's a different when you learn. But the 21st verse says this. If so be that you have learned him, if so be that you have heard of him, if so be that you have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Now, if you know this stuff, he said, then why don't you pull off the old concerning the former conversation of the old man? Let the old thing go, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And then he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And we may deal with that a little bit because you may wonder, why did it say true holiness? Our holiness ain't true. They got some holiness that folks have made up. And it ain't true. But there's a true holiness. And we're not to ignore that. There is a word right in that. That's awesome. So that ye have been, so you have heard and been taught by him as the truth in Jesus. He says that if you know this, then that 24th verse says, this new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's why you got to put away a lot of stuff that you would normally get away with because it wasn't true holiness. They got churches that they'll say it's true holiness, but it's not really true holiness because of the building, because of their attire. You know, a lot of times people, they wear certain things and they make you think because they done put a bandana around their head or they got their dress dragging their ground that they is pure holiness. No, brothers and sisters, check their heart out. They like a sepulchre, the Bible says. They've been whitewashed on the outside, look real good, but on the inside, nothing but dead bones, dried up bones. Don't mean nobody no good. But anyway, so we're going to talk about that thing. We're going to talk about the mind, what we got, the revelation that Paul gives about that mind. And we got to focus on walking with Christ, brothers and sisters. That's what's really going to help, knowing that you are a new creation. And get away from the hang-up that got people messed up. You don't have no righteousness. Stop that lie right now. The only righteousness you have is in Christ. But some folks want you to think that they're doing this and doing that and they live this way and that way. So that, see that, and they're holy. People teach you that. But it's not true holiness. True holiness is in the Word of God, that you've accepted what God did for your holiness. And you receive that holiness because of God. So, and then one other thing that we'll probably talk about this week is the law and grace. And we may even talk about the law versus grace. I don't know. However the Lord leads, but we will be talking about that. Because see, the only way you know sin is through knowledge. The way you understand sin is through knowledge. Well, you know, I just feel sinful. You can't feel sinful. Stop that lie. Somewhere in your mind tells you that you did something. And I know some people are going to debate that. If you feel some type of way, it's because of the knowledge you receive. If you feel some type of way, but it has nothing to do with the law itself or grace. So the greatest truth that you'll ever learn is there's a difference between the law and grace. And understanding the purpose of the law and then understanding the purpose of grace. And when we understand that, we'll understand that the law will declare you guilty on every time. That's what the law is going to do. But grace, when you understand the revelation of grace, oh, Lord, have mercy, what it does for you. And Paul, the question was asked to Paul, well, since we got all this grace, should we continue in sin? God forbid. How that you are dead to sin? How can you live any longer? You dead to that. You're not practicing that. So no. See, when you're in Christ, it's different, brothers and sisters. But anyway, we're out of time now. Anybody have any comment? Press 1. Just start talking. Hallelujah. Because I can't see you on the monitor. Anyone, hallelujah. Might give me a lemon. Hallelujah. Anyone. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, we'll see you guys on tomorrow for the word at noon.